Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen from My Broadband.
Hello, Jan Vermeulen. Which animal would you say has the longest neck?
Tried to save you from it, but I wasn't quick enough. Sorry, Jan.
Oh, yeah. Well, hi, everybody. I'm going to go with a giraffe.
No.
Okay, we're That's waiting.
Cool. Okay.
It's the whale. A whale's much bigger than a giraffe.
What do you yes, but it's how you define the neck then, because the whale...
Is all neck.
You consider the whale all neck, but maybe it's all head. Maybe it's all body.
It's so all
on,
neck.
On that point, I am going to actually bring you both back to technology, if you don't mind.
Please.
Because two things happened this week that have absolutely fascinated me. I'm going to throw them both out there, Jan. And maybe you can deal with them both. The one is this issue about the WhatsApps and the fire forwards. Explain to yes. me what, why, where, and who, and what was the rationale. And the second thing that's really fascinated me is this issue of Zimbabwe just turning off the internet. Like, how do you do that?
Right.
Who does that? Over to you.
Right, right. So these two things, I mean, both have to do with censorship. And what's been happening with WhatsApp is, in India in particular, it was used to disseminate fake news, which incited riots. Now, India is not unique in that. WhatsApp is used to disseminate fake news all over the world. But certainly that's like one huge incident that folks are pointing to and going, that was a catalyst. That was a turning point for this whole issue. And so to limit how quickly people can spread these messages with all kinds of quote-unquote facts in them across WhatsApp, what WhatsApp is saying is, well, we're going to limit how many people you can forward to. But really what's going to happen is that people are just going to forward stuff to groups. So if you forward a message to five groups with 200 people in each, that's still a lot of people that you can reach in one fell swoop. And then the people in those groups, it's an exponential effect. And I'm pretty sure that the folks at WhatsApp, you know, understand the mathematics behind this. If just five people in each of those groups forwarded along to different groups, you end up with a tremendous, you can reach the whole of India in a pretty short space of time. So yes, whether this measure will work or not remains to be seen, but certainly WhatsApp needs to be seen to be doing something to address the criticism that's been leveled at it as a platform for disseminating fake news, and where Facebook and which owns WhatsApp is able to kind of step in and deal with public posts because they can read those public posts and have moderators deal with them, have artificial intelligence flag them for human intervention and so on. In WhatsApp, it can't do that because the messages are encrypted. So by all accounts, Facebook should not know what's happening in the messages on WhatsApp, so it can't take responsibility or act on them, short of building in some kind of message reporting feature. I know that there's ways to report users, but not individual messages, to the best of my knowledge.
Interesting. It's a real double-edged sword, because you think about the democratizing ability that this platform has. Think of the Arab Spring, for example, where people who are completely right. oppressed had this tool that they could be heard, and you know, now they can't. But I suppose, you know, two
right.
sides
well,
of the same
I mean,
coin.
You can still be heard, but yeah, you just can't afford to more than five people.
It's interesting about what you say, Sam. Like, you know, with the Arab Spring, you know, Facebook
yes.
was so proud of that. The minute people started dying, then it was like, no, we weren't responsible for this.
Right, right. And that, as you say, and I agree with you 100%, that's the double-edged sword of the democratizing capability of the internet. As naively optimistic as I was in the 90s about it, so has reality set in about what it really means when you talk about democratizing information. And that comes with a bunch of pitfalls, and that means that you have unscrupulous people out there who, either for a laugh in the case of messages on WhatsApp, or you know, for furthering whatever agenda, or for financial gain on the internet, will distribute on the web, I should say, will distribute fake news, because fake news turns out to be quite lucrative on the web if you monetize your site correctly. And so that's part of what News 24 has been doing in South Africa, and then they're not alone, but in terms of taking on not just the people who create fake news, but the people who advertise on the websites that proliferate fake news. It's an interesting time, trying to get the market forces to kind of self-correct. But I don't want to spend too much time on that, because you asked another big question, which is about switching off the internet in Zimbabwe.
Yeah. And how do you do that?
Thing happened in Egypt during the Arab Spring.
Sure.
So what happened as best we can piece together is the Zimbabwean government gave instruction to one of the largest, well, to the ISPs in general, but one of the largest operators in Zimbabwe is Econet. It is owned by a Zimbabwean businessman. Part of Econet Media is a little company called Liquid Telecom, the name you might recognize. That's the company that bought Neotel not so long ago.
Oh, I forgot.
And the government, according to Econet, ordered Econet to so many words, switch off the internet. And so Econet is being sued for this, and its defense is that it was complying with the government demand. And so it's going to be interesting to see what comes of this in terms of the Zimbabwean law, if companies will be allowed to disobey, or whether it was a legal instruction from the government to give in the first place, and whether Econet was with not only within its rights to say no, but actually whether it would be compelled by law to say no to an instruction like that. It's we'll see what happens with the lawsuit. In Africa in general, South Africa included in that, it's notoriously expensive to see something like this through a court of law, and taking on a huge company like Econet will be inordinately expensive.
When they say switch off the internet, is that cell phone connectivity as well as is it the whole shebang?
So it depends on the operator you talk to. So let's imagine for a moment that the government is able to do that with Telkom.
Yes.
So what Telkom, because it's such a vertically integrated operator, what it's able to do, Telkom owns a mobile network, not a big one. Obviously, Vodacom and MTN are bigger. But it owns a mobile network, it owns the backhaul infrastructure, and it owns the fixed line network. So that means that if the government were to, if it were legal for the South African government to give an instruction like that to Telkom, for example, Telkom could switch off its mobile network.
Yes.
It could switch off the fiber that connects to the towers that feed those that feeds its mobile network. It's able to switch off the fiber that connects various places in South Africa to the cables that eventually lead to the likes of Seacom and Easy and Wax and all those undersea cables. Plus, Telkom owns a controlling stake in an undersea cable and owns several stakes in other undersea cables, so it could switch off that capacity as well. But there are many competing operators, and so in South Africa's case, the government would have to somehow convince everybody to switch off their networks. But certainly you can do a lot of damage if you go after a big provider. So Telkom and Liquid in South Africa are good examples, Dark Fiber Africa. So if you cut the feeder wires that ultimate, you know, that provide the backhaul that connects us, you know, from the cell phone tower or the fiber box in your house or the phone line boxy thing in your house,
yes,
to the actual internet, you can switch off a sizable chunk of the country if you just go for the backhaul rather than the what they call the last mile. So there are many ways to attack a network in that way, unfortunately. And if a government exerts sufficient control over the providers that provide those services, yeah.
What an admission you're in trouble, though.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty public. It's telling the world things are going on here. We need to,
yes,
we need
exactly
to hide.
And so it's definitely I would imagine a poor decision by government, because as you say, you're immediately alerting the world that, you know, to fix your eyes on what's happening here, there are human rights violations going on.
Yeah.
Jan, just very, very quickly, are you following the story of the Man's Not Barry Roo Twitter account, the parody account?
Yes.
And then News 24 came out and said that it was a Zambian national, and they gave his name. It turns out it's not true.
Right. We'll see how the story plays out. The Zambian national might still be involved. So there's a lot of counter arguments that it's not one person behind the account. The account itself has said that it's not one person tweeting from this account. But certainly there's a lot of compelling evidence to suggest that this Zambian man had access to the account.
Yeah.
And certainly if it turns out not to be true, there's a big apology in News24's future, because the news media, I say this as part of the news media, we often criticize social media for going after individuals like this and getting it wrong and causing...
And driving an agenda.
Right. So the agenda is part of it, but when you've got an online mob of people harassing people, doxing them, all kinds of ugly things, you know, because of a post on Twitter or case in point, WhatsApp or Reddit or whatever, I in the news media would be first to criticize the mob that social media enables.
Yeah.
So if News24 has made a similar mistake, that'll look very bad for it. So I will see what happens, but it's entirely possible that that the Zambian man is involved, but is not the only person behind that account. As I said, there's a lot of compelling evidence to suggest that this person created the account, had their name attached to the account in the beginning, and certainly remains involved with it. Whether there are other people involved with it, that's entirely possible.
Yeah. Jan Vermeulen, that is where we leave it this week. Always a pleasure to speak to you, and we'll keep up with you through mybroadband.co.za. That's Jan Vermeulen. He is the editor at large.